Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of salvation. Thank God for the gospel of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Bible says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Hallelujah. God's word is powerful. God's word is alive. God's word is alive forevermore. Glory to God. So we've been studying remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, salvation by faith in Christ Jesus, the consequence of the same, the benefits that accrue to those who believe, glory to Jesus. And then right now we're studying metaphors for salvation, propitiation, part 3. Metaphors for salvation, propitiation, part 3. We are taking a study on the word propitiation. What does it mean? What is the implication of the same? What is the consequence? In what way did Jesus propitiate the Father? Hallelujah. And these are very interesting things, very interesting realities. At the same time, very important realities. You know, there are certain truths of the Bible that excite us, that makes us leap for joy. But, you know, they are not just exciting. They are very, very core and sacrosanct to the Christian faith. Hallelujah. They are very important, very vital. They are things we must know as believers in Christ Jesus. So in the last episode, we saw how Christ offered his blood to God, not by, you know, taking a bowl of a red substance into heaven, but by offering himself, his very life. Glory to Jesus. His very life. God received Christ from the dead as being alive from the dead. And that's the propitiation. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 to 14. Hebrews 9, 12 to 14. Bible says, not with the blood of bulls and cows, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Not with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hallelujah. And then I showed you yesterday how that the most holy place is not where he went in his death and burial. So this is not about the blood that was shed on the cross. This is not about the blood that came through the piercing of his hands or the piercing of his legs. No, this refers to something entirely different. Hallelujah. With his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. And then we've seen that because Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We know that this would mean that Jesus did not enter the most holy place, which is heaven itself, the presence of God, with the red substance. Jesus did not ascend with a lowly body or a mortal body. He ascended with an immortal body, a glorified body that is void of human blood. Hallelujah. Void of human blood. So Jesus appeared in heaven for us. He offered himself to God, his life, his very life, his resurrection. Hallelujah. And that's the blood that was offered in the most holy place, his very life. It's person. And we're able to see this from scriptures yesterday that the fact that the word blood is used does not necessarily mean it's referring to a red, you know, liquid substance. The word blood is also a metaphor for life. Hallelujah. Also represents life. It's symbolic of life. Bloodshed speaks of death, but the word blood in itself is not always about death. Leviticus 17 verse 11, Bible says, the life of all flesh is in the blood. So blood also speaks of life. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 14 or verse 13 of Hebrews 9. Bible says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the for the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Have you seen? The blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself up to God. Jesus offered himself to God in his resurrection as the firstborn from the dead. Glory to Jesus. He offered himself up to God in his resurrection. So the blood of Jesus is not just about the liquid substance. The blood of Jesus speaks of his life offered to God in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 14 again closely. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Have you seen? He offered himself up to God through the eternal spirit. Look at verse 23 to 26. Bible says, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, that's the offering. That's the sacrifice. He is in the presence of God for us. Hallelujah. Jesus entered the most holy place not in his death, but in his resurrection. He entered heaven in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, look at this. Bible says, God who at sundry times and in various manners in time past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, or the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus went into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having purged our sins. His offering to God is his resurrection. Hallelujah. He rose again from the dead and presented himself to the Father as one who has come alive from the dead. And it's in that resurrection that God is propitiated. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, look at how certain words are used to describe the same things in the Bible. You find the word blood, you find the word life, you find the word spirit. They are used to describe the same things. Hallelujah. The same things you find the Bible say we have access into by the blood of Christ. You find the Bible also say we have access to these things by his life, or by his spirit, or by himself. Because they are all one and the same. Let's start from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 13. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Bible says, Ephesians 2, 13. Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. But look at verse 14. For he himself is our peace. He himself, the access is by his life. Hallelujah. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Of course, this is talking about peace between Gentiles and Jews, in the which we are now reconciled in one body, the church. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. Bible says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. So verse 13 says we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 18 says we have access by one spirit. He's talking about the same things. The blood of Christ, the spirit of Christ, one and the same. Glory be to Jesus. Look at this one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. See that at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, we are said to have access into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And this is what Bible refers to as access by one spirit at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. It's the same. Hallelujah. Because the blood of Jesus represents his life. Glory to God. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 22. Bible says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. He says, we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is not referring to believers, it's referring to men who are yet to enter. We have gained access by the blood of Jesus. We are not to come to gain access into the holiest place. We already gained access into the holiest place by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, but I'm showing you that what he refers to as access by the blood of Christ into the holiest place is what Paul describes as access by one spirit at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18, because it's the same. The blood of Jesus represents his life. It is not always about death. It also represents the life of the Son of God. Glory be to God. Look at this place. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Revelation 1 verse 5. Look at this. The Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. In his own blood. But look at this. In other places, you find out that the washing is by the Spirit of God. The washing is not by the red substance. It is by the Spirit of God, such that the blood of Jesus in this place is not necessarily referring to his death. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the death of Jesus is unnecessary, but I'm saying the death of Jesus is a means to an end. And God is not propitiated merely in his death, but in his resurrection. Hallelujah. It is the life of the Son of God that propitiates the Father. The outcome of his resurrection is what brings the propitiation for sins. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. We saw this yesterday. Let's see it again. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. I'll read. Bible says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You were washed by the Spirit of God. You were sanctified. You were justified by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. This is not referring to the red substance, the blood that is flowing, that was flowing from the cross of Calvary. This refers to the life and the Spirit of God offered to God in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Look at this other place, Titus chapter 3. We saw this again yesterday. Let's see it again. Hallelujah. You know, as a Bible student, you must learn to see things again, over and over and over and over again. You know, there are folks who think they've seen everything. They've seen it all. When it comes to scriptures, you can't see it all. Hallelujah. Just before you think you've gotten a grasp of the whole thing, you will see it in a different light. The same truth, but then your mind is going to be catching up gradually. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Titus in chapter 3. I'll read from verse 4. Bible says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Through the washing of regeneration. Hallelujah. This washing is by the Spirit of God, not by the physical blood of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, there's this professor, I don't know how true this is, maybe it's just a fable or one of those rumors, but I heard that there was a man who was talking about how that it's absurd to say that the blood of Jesus makes white as snow, because blood is red and snow is white. How can blood make white as snow? Because he's thinking carnally, he's thinking about the blood as a red substance. The blood of Jesus is about his life. Hallelujah. It's about his life. And blood making white as snow is just a metaphor. It's just a figurative expression. It's not literal. Praise God. You and I know that we were not dipped into blood. We were not dipped into blood. I soak myself with the blood of Jesus. I soak myself with the blood of Jesus. There's no scripture for it. It's not in the Bible. It's unscriptural. It's unbiblical. It's an African tradition. I don't know if this is in the West, but I know this is more common and popular in Africa. It is not of God. Hallelujah. It misrepresents what we are teaching. It misrepresents the gospel. There's no soaking anybody in the blood, because the blood is not the liquid. The blood is the life of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Look at this one quickly. So Christ died and rose again and offered himself alive unto the Father. He died, he rose again and offered himself to the Father. It is in his resurrection that God is propitiated. It is in the resurrection of Jesus that God is propitiated. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 6. I'll read from verse 1. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 to 10. Romans chapter 6, 1 to 10. Glory to Jesus. Look at this. Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Hallelujah. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Look at verse 7. "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." Verse 10. "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." You see that in his death, he died to sin. In his resurrection, he lives unto God. So Jesus presented himself to the Father in his resurrection. As a matter of fact, in his death, the father turned his face away. Glory to Jesus. My father, why have you forsaken me? Is not that which happened in the resurrection, but on the cross. While Jesus was bearing the sin of the world, in his death, the father turned his face away. So it's in the resurrection that Jesus presents himself alive to God as an offering, as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Look at this place now. Romans chapter 3. Let's consider Romans 3, 25 again, very closely. Romans 3, 25. But I'll read from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as propitiation by his blood. Point of emphasis. So God set Jesus forth as propitiation by his blood. Hallelujah. Propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So he says Jesus' blood is the propitiation for sins. Hallelujah. Through faith in his blood, we are justified and the Father is propitiated. Now you and I realize that, or we know from scriptures, that the remission of sins was not taught or preached anywhere until Jesus rose again from the dead. Are you with me on this? Jesus did not authorize anybody to preach remission of sins in his name until he rose again from the dead. He didn't authorize his apostles to preach remission of sins, forgiveness of sins in his name. Jesus did not tell men to preach propitiation by his blood until he rose again from the dead. Luke 24, from verse 46 to 47. Luke 24, 46 to 47. Glory to Jesus. Look at this quickly. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 46 to 47. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we see that repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in his name following his resurrection. He died, he rose again, and then remission of sins should be preached in his name because of his resurrection. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says that the blood of Jesus, by faith in his blood, we have the Father is propitiated, that blood is not necessarily about his death. Glory to Jesus. The propitiation could just be something that comes by faith in the life of the Son of God, in his resurrection. Hallelujah. In his resurrection. Faith in the blood is faith in the life of the Son of God. So while we know that his death was necessary, of course, Bible says in Hebrews 2:14 that through death might destroy him who had the power of death. So we know that his death is necessary in that it was through death it destroyed him who had the power of death. We know that his death is necessary. However, the point here is that his death is a means to an end. Hallelujah. The death of Jesus is a means to an end. It is not the end in itself. It's a means to an end. The resurrection. Victory over death. Because, you know, that's what the resurrection is. The resurrection of Jesus is victory over death. That is what eventually happened when Jesus rose again from the dead. He conquered death. He destroyed the power of death. He broke the power of death over humanity by his resurrection. Hallelujah. So until Jesus rose again from the dead and defeated death, God could not be propitiated. God could not be satisfied. And I'm insisting that when we think about propitiation, we shouldn't be thinking in the sense of, you know, the anger of God is just being appeased. We should think in the sense of God bringing his work to completion. God getting satisfied by the finished work of Jesus. God is satisfied because he has finally been able to achieve that which he set out to achieve from the beginning. Hallelujah. So this is not just about the wrath of God or the anger of God. This is more about God bringing his eternal purpose to pass, or God accomplishing his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. So he is satisfied because he has finished the work. So the Father is propitiated because Christ fulfilled his eternal purpose. Hallelujah. Christ has brought to fulfillment. He has accomplished the eternal purpose of God, which he proposed in himself before time began. That is the propitiation. The Father is now finally fulfilled and accomplished and satisfied because he has done what he set out to do from the beginning of time. Glory be to Jesus. The Father is finally satisfied because the work has been done. That is the propitiation. Hallelujah. That is the propitiation. The power of death has been broken and men have been adopted as sons of God into the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we know that the death of Jesus is a means to an end. The resurrection, victory over death. So the blood of Christ goes beyond his death. It speaks of his life. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Look at how this is taught. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by his blood. We've been justified by what? His blood. But look at this carefully. When he says we've been justified by his blood, the blood here again is not necessarily about the red substance dripping on the cross of Calvary. It speaks of his life, because we saw in our previous study on justification, one of the metaphors for salvation, justification, we saw how that we are justified by the life of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So while the Bible says in this place, while Paul says in this place that we are justified by his blood, look at Romans chapter 4 verse 25. Romans 4 25, Bible says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So you see that the justification is about his resurrection. So the blood here is not about the physical substance, the red substance. It is about the life of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, see how it links the death and life of Christ together at verse 10. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What are we saved by? His life. Hallelujah. But then he says we were reconciled by the death of his Son. Now these are not things that happened at different times. Not that we were reconciled by his death, then later we are now saved by his life. No, the reconciliation is also a product of his resurrection, of his life. But it links them together because the death of Jesus happened before the resurrection, and the death of Jesus was a means to an end. The death of Jesus was the means to an end, which is the resurrection. So they are oftentimes linked together in scriptures, but you realize that the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate. Without the resurrection, the death of Jesus is unnecessary. Hallelujah. The death of Jesus will have achieved nothing without the resurrection. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look at this now. So you see that there's a reason why in the book of Acts, the apostles were preaching the resurrection of Christ. The emphasis of the apostles in the book of Acts was the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 22. Because it's in the resurrection of Christ that the Father is propitiated. Acts chapter 1 verse 22. Glory be to God. Acts 1:22. Look at this. Bible says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to God by miracles, wonders, and signs and wonders, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Verse 24, whom God raised up from the dead, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Have you seen? It was not possible that death should hold him, because he had a mission to die and to rise again from the dead, thereby destroying him who had the power of death. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of Jesus is the core of their teaching, of their sermon in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 verse 32 to 33. Look at this now. Acts 2 32 to 33. Bible says, this Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. This Jesus God raised up. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts 3 15 to 16. Glory to God. Acts chapter 3 verse 15 to 16. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He says, they killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. We are witnesses of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Look at this other place. Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 24 to 26. Bible says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and all those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Verse 25, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So it's in the resurrection that Jesus blesses men with remission of sins. It says, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Hallelujah. In turning away every one of you from your iniquities, because it's only in the resurrection that Jesus has the capacity, the authority to give life to men, to give remission of sins to men. Without the resurrection, there will be no salvation, there will be no remission of sins, there will be no forgiveness, there will be no redemption without the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus that was offered to God is not necessarily about the red substance. It is about the offering of his life to God when he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. It's in that life that God is propitiated. It's in the resurrection that God is satisfied. Glory be to God. Look at this. Also, Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Bible says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. With great power the apostles gave witness to what? To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So at Acts 4:33, we have a sum of the emphasis of the apostles. Their emphasis was about the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Are you aware that it was the resurrection of Jesus that empowered the apostles to be bold enough to preach the gospel? When Jesus died, they fled. They ran away. Everyone went to his own way. In fact, Peter says, I go fishing. Hallelujah. And some of them followed him. They practically had given up on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah that they were expecting. Hallelujah. Suddenly, Jesus presented himself alive to these guys, and boldness to preach suddenly came upon them. Amen. The same men that were cowards before the arrest of Jesus, Peter would swear and then deny Jesus three times, and because he was afraid of death and he ran for his dear life. That same man began to withstand the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests, the elders in Israel face to face. It's Peter that would say, Peter and John that would say to the leaders in Israel, whether it is right for us to obey you or to obey God, you judge for yourself. Hallelujah. Sudden boldness because they had seen the Lord. Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 that Jesus presented himself to them alive by many infallible proofs. Acts 1 verse 3, infallible proofs. They saw him. Hallelujah. They saw him. Glory be to Jesus. They saw him. Hallelujah. So this was the crux of their message. They were preaching that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive again from the dead. So they gave witness to the resurrection. Hallelujah. Such that what they expected men to believe is the fact that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Glory be to God. Jesus had been raised from the dead. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, as I begin to close. Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. Bible says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ himself had loved us, as Christ himself has loved us, and giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It says Jesus gave himself to God, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. This is not about the death of Jesus. This is about the resurrection. The phrase sweet-smelling aroma in that place speaks of something that you delight in, something that you take pleasure in. Hallelujah. In the death of Jesus, like I said earlier on, God turned his face away. My Father, why have you forsaken me? God took no pleasure. God had no delight in the death of Christ. Hallelujah. So, sweet smelling aroma speaks of something God takes delight in. This is about the resurrection, the offering of his life to God when he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. See how this word is used in the epistles of Paul. You know, because it's Paul that used this phrase. And then see how Paul was the only person that used this phrase in the New Testament. See how he used it. See 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So what are we to God? The fragrance of Christ. That word fragrance is the word sweet savour. Hallelujah. Sweet savour. So we are to God the sweet savour of Christ That's the same word translated sweet smelling aroma at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. It's the same word. So we are to God a sweet savour. So have you seen a sweet savour of Christ? So that shows that God is delighted in us. God is not, you see, this is not something that God is trying to endure. This is God is delighted in us. Hallelujah. God takes pleasure in us. God delights in us. So we are a sweet savour to Christ. And that's the word translated sweet smelling aroma at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Look at Philippians chapter 4 verse 18. This is the last place Paul uses the same word translated sweet smelling aroma at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. Philippians 4, 18. Look at this now. Bible says, indeed I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Have you seen that when it's a sacrifice that has a sweet smelling aroma, it is always well pleasing to God. Hallelujah. It is always well pleasing to God. So the sacrifice that was well pleasing to the Father is not just about the death of Jesus, in the which men crucified him to the cross and went to hell. It's about the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead. In his resurrection, the Father is well pleased. Hallelujah. The Father is propitiated in the resurrection of Jesus. Glory be to God. So the offering of Christ to the Father is his life, his resurrection. And it's in this outcome, it's in the outcome of this resurrection that God is propitiated. Hallelujah. It's in this resurrection we find life. Glory be to God. You know, cast your mind back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. 1 Corinthians 15. I think I should close on this. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 12. It's in the resurrection we find life. From verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, verse 16, then Christ is not risen. Verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Hallelujah. If Christ is not risen, our faith is futile and we are yet in our sins. But thank God Christ is risen again. Hallelujah. Thank God Christ is risen again. Glory to God, he is risen again. Because now that Christ has been raised from the dead, we are not in our sins and our faith is not futile. Glory to Jesus. So have you seen that the reason why people are in their sins is not because they commit sins. It is because they have no faith in the resurrection of Christ. The man that believes in Jesus' death and resurrection, his faith is counted as righteousness and he is no longer in his sins. He's taken out of sin. His sins are remitted because of his faith in the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. So the resurrection is the finished work. Glory be to Jesus. The resurrection is the finished work. Until he rose again from the dead, the work was not finished. So the resurrection is the finished work. And it's in this finished work, the fact that the work was done, finished, accomplished, that God the Father is propitiated. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I trust you've been blessed today. I trust you've been refreshed, edified. Glory to God. You know, we'll continue our study tomorrow. Invite somebody, your friends, your relatives, your family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's just come together to have a great time again in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. Share your faith with somebody. Bring somebody to an awareness of what Jesus has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See you in the next episode.